Welcome to Season 1, Episode 8 of Interior Creature in Communion. I'm Jacqueline Michelle, and I am so honored that you're here. And I cannot wait for you to hear this week's conversation. Each week, I sit in communion with a member of the Interior Creature community to talk about the work of deconditioning, of exploring every little nook and cranny of our birth charts, and the process of moving from intellectual epiphany to actual embodiment of the most compassionate frequencies of the energies within our chart. Another thing to note, everyone I sit with in communion is given a pseudonym just to protect their privacy and to create a safe container that allows for vulnerability and honesty. Today, I want to share with you part one of my conversation with Georgia. She's a mental projector with the writing across of the unexpected in Gate 41. To make up for the absence of a pod last week, part two of our conversation is going to drop this Thursday. I had some very cliche Mercury retrograde tech issues, one after the other, and let's just keep our fingers and toes crossed that that's it for this retrograde period. Although, now that I put it out there, it probably won't be because, you know, Murphy's Law. But anyway, over the course of our conversation, Georgia and I talked about where to find the right source of energy for her as a mental projector, about parenting a generator and a manifesting generator child with an energy projector partner, and about how Gate 14 and Gate 5's energies were manifesting in her life. We're going to drop into our conversation right after I thank Georgia for sitting down with me and ask her about her human design experiment thus far.
My experience so far is very precursory. I'm very new to all of this. I've been able to establish that I'm a mental projector. Mm-hmm. I did have a human design reading done for me by a practitioner. And it was very interesting, and I found it to be incredibly accurate on levels with things that maybe I kind of knew about myself, but weren't very evident, you know, to the outside world. Certain little quirks and things that people would just look on as, you know, being a little bit fussy or a bit strange, that then were in my chart and began to make sense to me. So that piqued my interest quite a lot, because it was kind of a way of understanding myself that I never had before. And I would imagine that's due to a lot of conditioning from what I've read. A lot of the material that I have read is complicated.
Yeah.
However, when I came across your material, it was a lot easier to understand. And I found it supremely helpful in so many ways. Also because I was able to do charts for my two children and my husband as well, mm-hmm. Which explained a lot of other things.
Oh, yeah. Looking at the relational dynamics between people, like that was like the second rabbit hole I dove down. I had a similar experience to you when I first ran my own chart, to go like, that's a really weirdly specific thing this chart was able to kind of mirror back to me that like not many people maybe in the outside world knew. And it was nice to kind of feel like, oh, I'm not broken. I'm not weird. Like, I'm wired this way. But then the second rabbit hole was like my family, my friends, my exes, my parents, and looking at their charts and being like, this just opens up in a whole other world of like understanding the dynamics in our relationship. Do you have a lot of other mental projectors in your life, or like what's the dynamics in your family?
Not the family I was born into, my own family being my husband and my children. My husband is also a projector.
Nice. But
he's not a mental projector. He has different centers defined to me.
Yeah. Does he have his heart or his solar plexus defined in his chart?
Yes, he has his solar plexus.
But he's an energy projector. Yeah, those are the most common. Energy projectors have an energy center, at least one of them defined in their chart. It could be their heart, could be their solar plexus, could be their root. But the thing that kind of makes you both projectors is the fact you've both got that sacral open. So that being with someone who's got that, who still has that projector, that guide energy that you do, but then also has that emotional energy, that could be an energy giver, or it could also be an energy kind of taker, depending on the dynamic there and depending on how they are like navigating their emotional wave. So you have an energy projector as a husband. That's awesome.
And that's quite amazing, because I didn't, you know, from what I previously read, a projector as a whole is just unable to produce energy. And that was very disheartening to me, because I thought, oh, great. So what purpose do I really have here? As you can see, I only have my head and my ajna. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I always feel like the definition of, when we talk about physical energy, like our energy actually in human design can come from one of four places. Our heart center, our solar plexus, our sacral, or our root. So that doesn't help you out, unfortunately, because you have those centers open in your chart. But I think that there is, like, there's this weird, I don't know, overgeneralization that sometimes happens when people talk about types. And especially this happens when people talk about the quote unquote non-energy types. So projectors, manifestors, reflectors. Manifestors by definition have an energy center defined in their chart, at least one. It's connected to their throat. It's their power of manifestation, but it's maybe not as dominant or powerful physically as the sacral would be. And same with projectors. Energy projectors are actually the most common type of projector that's out there. And they have at least one of the three energy centers they can have closed to find. Now, for you, the challenge is exactly kind of what that description says. That said, your energy comes from the physical environment that you put yourself in. And so for you, it's almost like you have a little bit more choice and more agency. Myself as a generator, I have my sacral, my spleen, and my root closed. So my physical energy comes from things that give me joy. And like, it's hopefully really consistent. And that's what kind of fuels my ability to go and like, you know, interview you for the podcast or run a chart or take my dogs for a walk or whatever it is. It has to come from a place of joy to be physically sustainable. For Right. you, it's almost like you get to taste test all these energies of the people around you and kind of figure out like, who are the people that I work next to, collaborate with, work alongside? Their energy feels really good and supportive and juicy in my body. And I enjoy being around them. And it's a restorative kind of energy giver. And then who are the people that when I'm around them, I am drained, I am exhausted. Maybe their energy feels too frenetic. Maybe it feels too all over the place and scattered. Maybe it feels too intense, like, or maybe it's not intense enough. Like, it's almost like discerning like how you want your coffee in the morning. Like, it's almost like you can do that with your physical environment if you have kind of the agency and ability to do so. So for you, it's almost like curating around you, like, who has energy that I want to sample each day? Like, who's got either a thing that gives them joy, a physical kind of environment, a team dynamic, like that's either going to feed you or starve you on an energetic level. What I thought was really interesting too, because that was one of the questions I know when you wrote into me was like, how do we get more physical energy kind of to you in your chart? Just because you're not making it doesn't mean that you can't, you know, kind of share in the abundance of physical energy that like is out in the world. It's so funny because generators, this is, I think, one of the challenges with the way human design is actually like transmitted to everybody is it's done through the lens of capitalism. And capitalism tells us that we're as productive as what we're physically doing each day. I think that's part of what colors like non-sacral types looking at themselves and going, oh, well, if I don't have physical energy, then like, what is my role to play? Well, you're here to be a guide. Like projectors typically can see either like a process better than other people can see it, or can see people better than they can see themselves. And you're actually with your profile, with your 1-4 profile, you're a magic combination of both of those things. The first line is like, here's this knowledge, this system, this, you know, wealth of information that I just kind of see in a way that the people around me maybe can't. And then with the fourth line being the kind of foundational line of your profile, communities, networks, how people work together. It's like you're the foreman on the construction site. I always use this analogy of like what all the roles are kind of in human design. Like the manifestor would be the person who like purchased the property. The generators and the man gens are the ones that are like doing the demo work and designing what the property is going to look like on the other side. And the projectors are like the foreman on the construction site who can like, or the foreperson who can kind of look at either the process we all need to go through and say, okay, for us to really like get all the old plumbing out and put the new plumbing in, here's the order we need to do it in, and here's the materials we need to use, and here's who's going to work on what. And it's also this ability to like understand the team dynamic that like, you know, maybe Steve needs a little bit more leadership experience, or Doris like already has mastered this one thing and wants to try this new skill and like wants to apprentice someone or whatever. So it's like, how do I maximize the work of the people on the team? And you're uniquely positioned to be able to do both of those things.
Just wanted to jump in here for a second. If you're a projector and you're wondering whether your gift is seeing people better than they can see themselves, or guiding around a process or a system or a body of knowledge or a combination of both, there are two places you can look in your chart. You want to look at your profile and you want to look at how the lines are distributed across your gates. So if you have a first line or a fifth line in either position in your profile or a ton of first line and or fifth line energy across your gates, you're probably really gifted at guiding around a process or around a specific subject, as the fifth line is really super solution oriented and the first line loves building that really strong foundational knowledge. If you have a lot of fourth or sixth line energy in your chart, or you've got the fourth or the sixth line in either position in your profile, then you're probably gifted at guiding people and seeing those relational dynamics between folks, as the fourth line is really adept at interpersonal relationships, and the sixth line is really good at gaining that ability to guide and lead others based on the integration of the lessons they've learned through the trial and error of the third line. If you want to see how your lines are distributed across the gates, you can run your chart at mybodygraph.com, click on the My Body Graphs view at the top of the page, and then on the information panel on the right side of the screen, scroll down until you see the statistics window and open that up, and there's a table there that'll show you how many gates you have on each line in your chart. Now, back to our conversation.
That's good to know.
How is guiding then kind of showing up in your life? Do you feel like you kind of have a position within your community or even like professionally where you're like, oh, I can see where my advice is sought or my guidance is sought or my counsel is sought?
I think prior to immigrating, that may have been a little bit more prevalent. Mm-hmm. Since moving from South Africa, we live in London at the moment. Mm-hmm. I don't have a great network of people here. I spend most of my time with my children and my husband. And I work as an assistant, but virtually. So the people or the clients that I work with, I just connect with them on a weekly basis over Zoom, but I don't generally have any physical contact with them. So as I said, you know, predominantly my time is spent with my two children and my husband. My husband, who's a projector, and my eldest child is a generator, and the youngest one, whom I spend the most time with, is a manifesting generator.
That energy can be tricky because they tend to be... especially with just with you being so open, that dynamic can be tricky because the manifesting generator child is typically multi-passionate and they're typically super active. They have a lot going on. They have a lot on their plate. They have a lot that they want to kind of give their attention to. And your energy, again, is a little bit more, it's super receptive. It's super, you know, get absorbing in that way. And so it depends on whether that feels really good or that might be like feel really like tiring, depending on, again, the age and the energy level of the little one.
Yeah, some days it's I feel like we're in harmony quite a lot, and other days I feel like I'm on the verge of having a breakdown because he's four at the moment.
Oh, that's a fun age, but a lot of energy.
Yes, the oldest one, she'll be 18, so you know she's very very different to her brother. Mm-hmm.
And generators tend to have, like pure generators, like myself, we tend to have like kind of a one project at a time kind of thing. And like we go kind of really deep, really, but like in one direction. Whereas a manifesting generator, sometimes it's like the TV's on and they've got their Game Boy out, or I don't know if the Game Boy updates me, like, or whatever their little game cartridge is. And, you know, it's like a lot of different things are happening at once, and or just kind of like, it's just a different vibration in terms of just like that energy. So again, it can be really fulfilling, but it can also be like, how do I keep
chaotic
up with you? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So that might be something to think about too, in terms of like your physical environment when you're working. It sounds like one of the things that might be a challenge right now because of like so much of your physical energy coming from like the teams that you're working with, working remotely may not actually be as energetically giving to you as much as it would be if you were working in an actual, you know, office or with other people. Not that you have to make a career change, but that might be one of the reasons why, you know, if the energy is being limited to a small child who has a lot of needs and has a lot of energy and not like a team where you can kind of like almost siphon off a little bit of that energy. Because like generators, we produce more than we can use typically if we're in our joy. And we love giving you a contact high of stuff to kind of work from if it's the right group of people. But that might be part of the reason why you're feeling a little bit of like, oh, where can I get more physical energy? One of the things to think about might be a workspace to go into, like a cooperative workspace. It could even be something like a coffee shop. One of the things that you're that kind of uniquely positions you to work in public, which, you know, not necessarily saying you have to do this, is the head and the mind being closed. Folks with a closed head center are much better able to kind of discern what gets my focus, how much of my focus does it get, you know, what's actually important, what's not. And you're better at kind of like tuning out the noise than folks who have an open head center. Like both of us with an open head center, we're very easily stimulated, which means we are incredibly easily distracted.
Yes,
and like,
yes.
Like I can't work in say like a crowded Starbucks or something. I would be like, oh, someone forgot their tea. Oh, I think that person needs the bathroom code. Like all of a sudden, I'm like everything else is more important than like a thing I'm trying to do in front of me. But a lot of times people with a closed head center even crave a little bit of outside noise to like help them focus in.
Yeah, so when I do feel like I do try and go out every day, just for walks. And I do, you know, I will oftentimes go and sit in a Starbucks or something and just spend some time there. And I'm the only one in my family with a closed head center. The other three are all open.
That might be helpful too, considering, you know, you can actually maintain your focus when the other three might be like, squirrel, like what's happening over there? Or even like what's interesting with children too, and it'd be interesting to think about your eldest and like her experience with this. I know one of the things I struggle with my open head center is I feel a pressure sometimes to give my attention to something because of like, it's an ad on social media or it's a YouTube video I'm watching. And all of a sudden it's like, I need to buy that mascara or I have to go read that book right now. And like, we end up down these rabbit holes that we realize once we're down them actually aren't giving us physical joy. So that'll be something interesting to watch, like in your 4-year-old as he gets older and in your eldest, like where are they kind of maybe falling down rabbit holes that aren't meant for them, maybe giving themselves their attention to something that maybe isn't actually giving them joy. It was like in the moment it felt urgent, but that urgency kind of tapers away once they kind of get back in their own energy. It's one of those things that will just continue until like she realizes for herself, like she has to kind of figure out like what are her body's messages to her about what's for her, what's not, outside of the influence in the moment.
Right. And that's part of the reason as well that I'm interested in studying more about human design. It's not only to find out about myself. And I know that you mentioned this in some of your lessons where you've said, you know, the projectors want to know about others before they want to know about themselves. But it's more in terms of being able to help and guide them, you know, along as they grow. I would like to be able to help them know themselves in a way that will help them achieve what they want to achieve in life. So I would have to get to know how to do that exactly.
Yeah. I think that what the advice I always give parents is get to know your child's center presentation, like what's open, what's closed, whether there's like a split in the definition or whether it's like all the centers that are closed are talking to each other. And then like type and authority are really important, especially when they're little and they're making decisions for themselves. Like say your little manifesting generator gets an offer, like, you know, how like there's sports at school, right? Like, oh, you could play basketball or you could play football or you could play lacrosse. Like, what is it that you want to play? Like a lot of times when they're so little, it's like, it depends. That open head center goes, what's in front of me right now? That's the thing that feels most exciting or most important. Or, you know, if they have an open identity and heart center, what is everybody else committing to? And sometimes they don't realize like, oh, I should really go back to my own joy or my own emotional investment. If they're because you know, with your children, they're either going to have sacral authority or emotional authority, depending on whether the sacral is or the solar plexus is closed or not. And so teaching them.
So one has sacral, one has emotional.
Yeah. So the emotional one, it's like figuring out what is maybe if we use the sport example, like what is the sport that I care the deepest about, right? Like what is the thing that I'm going to feel the worst if I don't get to do? And emotionally, like what am I most emotionally invested in? And the sacral one is like, which one am I going to look forward to the most? Like which one is my body? Like when I think about going to basketball practice, like my entire body gets all excited and joyful. And it's like, versus like, I practice tonight. Like what's the get to versus what's the have to. And when we get kids getting super aware of just their intuition, like what their own intuitive voice is, and then giving themselves that permission to like honor it, acknowledge it, follow it when possible, that becomes really helpful. The other thing too, that like will be interesting with your manifesting generator is a lot of times manifesting generators get this programming with their children that they have to follow every single thing they start. And that's actually not how they're wired. So one of the other things to think about too would be like helping your little one. And again, he's 4. So he's like, you know, the decisions he's making right now aren't like massive life decisions. But as he gets older, you know, thinking about like having him kind of think through like, okay, like I want to really make sure I'm not following my open head center of like, this is interesting and important, but right now, like I really want to make sure I'm tapping into my authority. And then also like giving him an off ramp. So like I always use this example, my brother's a generator. And when he was younger, he really wanted to play American football. Like that was his like, you know, and it was weird because he had been taking soccer and all these other sports and just out of nowhere, all the other kids were doing it. He was like, I want to play it. I want to do it. And my parents went and bought him all the equipment and signed him up. And he got through like one or two practices and realized, I hate this. Like I love watching it on TV. I do not like doing it. But my parents made him finish the season. Now, I almost wish that they had gone back and said, you can leave, but you make this a teachable moment. Like, you have to tell your coach why you're leaving. You have to, and he was young enough. It wasn't like it was going to like ruin their chances at a state championship or anything like that. It was like little kids learning how to play. Like, that could have been a beautiful lesson in like, okay, I've gotten myself into something that I thought was going to be a yes. It's not. It's a teachable moment to kind of like, how do we extract ourselves in a way that's respectful and compassionate, but like also puts up a clear boundary. Like, that could have been a great teachable moment.
Are you a small business owner or a spiritual practitioner working in the wellness space? Do you want to get your offerings in the ear holes of the amazing members of the Interior Creature community? If so, you are in luck because I'm looking for sponsors for upcoming episodes. Drop me an email at interiorcreature@gmail.com and Interior Creature is all one word. And let's chat and see if you're a good fit. Now, back to the pod.
But for you, in terms of getting your physical energy, I was thinking about this as I was looking at your chart earlier, places you might want to look in terms of like where you may have energy leaks, as in like the energy you do have when you're kind of taking it in from your surroundings or from your children or from the activities you're working on. There's places where you might have energy leaks and there's places where you have like opportunities to plug in and get specific energy kind of from the task, from your environment. So having your sacral open doesn't mean that you don't have any physical energy. It means it's less consistent. So like generators and manifesting generators, like your daughter and your son and myself, like we get, and it, like we have a task that needs to be done. And if it's a task we get to do, our body basically goes, woohoo, here's the energy to fill the container of that task. Like, let me give you the energy it's going to require to do it. And it's going to feel joyful and restorative as you're doing it. So it's almost like a phone being utilized, but also being charged at the same time. So like the energy is being replaced as it's being, you know, spent.
Okay.
With an open sacral, that energy is just kind of out, right? And then it's almost like a phone that like you need to actually like turn it off and plug it in and leave it for a while and let it kind of recharge, as opposed to be using it while you're doing it. So for you, it's like multiple things that are influencing how much physical energy you have. It's the task itself. So what are you doing? Where are you doing it? Like, what's the physical environment like? And it could be like literally like the vibes in the office, or how many people are around, or like the team you're working on. The people involved is another big factor for you, especially because of your fourth line energy of being a 1-4. Who is there on that team working alongside you or with you? And 4 and 1-4 is, and especially mental projectors with your kind of profile presentation, tend to work better when there's like a team dynamic around, where it's like, okay, here's the energy I'm like receiving from my team that I can go and then utilize to do the task that I need to do. Your energy is also going to be something that kind of peaks and valleys throughout the day. Whereas your son and your daughter's energy is going to be much more kind of consistent. Projector energy in general tends to have either natural peaks or valleys that align to like specific times of day, or are, again, task dependent, team dependent, environment dependent. Like, that's going to kind of like either supercharge your energy or like drain it really quickly.
Just wanted to jump in again with a quick exercise you can do if you're a projector to determine how your energy flows throughout the day. And I built you a free energy tracker that you can download, and it's linked in the show notes. What you want to do is print it out and then grab 4 markers or highlighters. You're going to want a green one, an orange one, a red one, and a gray one. And during the course of the day, you're going to use the tracker to track your energy levels and note what you're doing, who you're doing it with, where you're doing it, how you're doing it, etc. You're going to use the green marker for times of day where you're feeling really energized and focused and productive, the orange marker for times where you're feeling your energy dipping, the red marker for when you're like, oh, I need rest, I'm tired, and the gray marker for times where you're like, I overdid it, I am spent, I am exhausted, I pushed a little bit too hard. Because, you know, we all do that from time to time. So make sure you're taking notes too as to the who, the what, the where, the when, the how of each part of your day. And at the end of the week, you're going to look for patterns and commonalities. So maybe there's a certain time of day every day where your energy just naturally dips. Or maybe there are certain tasks that drain you faster than others, or certain people that leave you feeling really depleted. arming yourself with that data can give your authority something to engage with in terms of designing your day so that you have that energy you need when you need it and that you have adequate time to rest and recharge. A dear projector friend of mine used this tracker for a few weeks and it literally changed her life. She is a morning person and she's normally up by like 4:35 a.m. each day. I wish my body functioned like that. It does not. But anyway, after she was using the tracker for a while, she realized that her peak time for focus and energy was literally 5:30 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. each day, which unfortunately is outside of normal working hours, right? So she also noticed that when she was in crowded or noisy spaces, her battery drained really quickly. She also has like an open head, open mind center. So she started going into the office really early before anyone else got there and realized that when she was there and she was working, you know, in that zone of productivity, in those ideal circumstances, she was knocking out a full day's worth of work before 9 a.m. Now, coincidentally, she had a performance review with her manager around that time, and she discussed this idea of working remotely and asynchronously, and she had the data to show how adjusting her work schedule had increased her productivity, and her manager was totally on board, loved the initiative. And so her schedule now has been like this for about a year, where she works asynchronously, she works from home, and it was literally like the domino that needed to be tipped for so many other things to fall in place in her life. Her stress levels are so much lower, she's getting much more sleep, her physical and her mental health improved. You know, an exercise like this is helpful because it takes us out of that like daily doing and it holds a space for us to cultivate more awareness and more intentionality. Give it a try, and if it helps you, definitely let me know. Now, back to my conversation with Georgia.
And so what I love about you being a virtual assistant is there is a bit of agency, I assume, that you have around when you're working and when you're resting. Am I correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's perfect for a projector because, again, like you're not meant to be glued to a desk from 9 to 5 in one kind of fell swoop. That's very much like the 80-85% of the world happened to be a manifesting generator and a generator. And when the unions like advocated for like a cleared end of the workday, it kind of aligned with about our max amount of energy we can give each day, even though I don't believe that generators and manifesting generators should be doing 9 to 5s either. I think we need to rewire the way that we all work. But
I agree.
With your sacral open, one of the things I noticed is you've got gate 5 and gate 14. So unpacking your relationship to these two gates can give you a lot of information about where you can get kind of bursts of energy. Okay. Your gate 14 is your conscious moon placement. And 14 is called the gate of power skills. It's a once in a blue moon, like sacral yes you're going to get for either a specific task, a specific topic, a specific like project that you're working on, that like every time you think about it, you get excited to go and kind of work on it. Now, the physical energy you're going to have for it, it's going to be a little less consistent, but gate 14 kind of like shines a giant spotlight on what our big yeses are. So even though you're not going to experience that quite frequent, like as frequently as maybe a generator would, it would be mm-hmm. worth, you know, exploring like, what are those things that I feel so much physical excitement about doing? Like, what are those tasks, opportunities, projects, et cetera, that I'm like, I can't wait till I get to. And for you, because they're sitting in your moon placement, that's ambition, that's drive, that's like what we feel pulled towards. So it might be interesting to think about that in a career specific, like kind of way, or even like family relationships that you feel really like compelled toward, pulled toward, but like, you know, you're ambitious about, like, that's kind of the intersection that this gate is sitting at. So do you have things right now that you get to do each day or on a regular basis that like kind of meet that criteria of gate 14?
Well, at the moment it's human design. So that's kind of the only thing that really is, it's daunting, but it's exciting at the same time. So I try and get as much time as I can to sort of focus on it. Doesn't always happen, but when I do get to sit down and read and kind of think about it, it makes a lot of sense to me, and it does give me satisfaction.
And that might be, and it's funny because like that might be a place, and the satisfaction's the kind of keynote we're looking for from anything that's like sacrally related, right? So having that kind of epiphany of going like, this is a satisfied feeling, this is something I always have energy for, it might be interesting to try to like put pockets of time either in your day or in your week where you're like, here is a task that I know, or a project that I know, or an area of study I know that always gives me energy when I dig into it. Like that could be something that like refills my gas tank with the physical energy. Another thing that's interesting in your chart beyond gate 14. So it's like consciously it's your moon, unconsciously it's your Mars. So it also has to be something you're really passionate about and fired up by. And I could hear that in your voice when you're talking about understanding like the relational dynamics in your family, like family chart study. That would be another thing to kind of like pop into those little pockets, because that's going to like, you know, again, give you some of that physical energy. Another thing that would be helpful too is thinking about your timing. So you have gate five activated, and five is all about basically the natural rhythms that we have throughout the day. Like, what is my timing versus like, what is the timing I'm told that I need to have? Like, society tells me I need to be on a specific timetable. And yours is Venus related. So it's really related to like, you know, your timing with your children, your timing with your partner, could be timing career, professional relationships. It's all kind of, you know, interrelational in that way. And what I love is it's also a fifth line placement for you, which is all about solutions, like, and getting solution oriented. So it kind of makes me, it makes sense that you're saying human design is one of those things that gives you a sacral yes, because what are you studying within that is like the timing of decisions and relational dynamics and your family and like, you know, So we have that gate five, and your unconscious gate five is in Neptune, which is the planet of spirituality. And what is human design if not a spiritual system? So it might be that like plugging time into your week where you're like, this is my like sacred human design study time. And I'm going to like canonize this time and give it to myself on a regular basis to study my chart, my children's charts. And it might turn into something that's like, you know, a side hustle or even like a career in the future, or maybe not. Again, it depends on your bandwidth for that. But that it's funny. I think those having that hobby at least, and that like time carved out for you is going to give you a little bit more kind of physical energy, because it's going to hit the criteria of those two kind of sacral gates.
Yes, I think it will. And that's also part of the reason that I'd like to kind of learn more as much as I can, not only for my family, but if at any point I begin to become adept at it, maybe be able to help other people and be a part of a community of people who have, you know, who are on a similar path as well.
And that fits the criteria of your incarnation cross and your channel of abstraction, because your incarnation cross is all about, it's literally so interwoven with this idea of timing as well, even though gate five isn't in your big four placements. This cross of the unexpected is basically you figuring out what is that thing or things that give you so much joy and feel so deeply aligned for you, because the environment in which you're doing them, like people, situation, physical characteristics, et cetera, energy, vibes, like everything just feels so good and supportive that you're giving yourself that gift, right? It's like you're allowing that fantasy to become reality of what that kind of thing can look like, but it's going to look different than what other people are doing. Hence the title of the unexpected, right? And so there's a big part of your chart, which is all about purpose and taking care of people and nurturing and leadership, kind of leading when kind of asked to step up and guide. And that has to do with kind of making your dreams a reality, but it's all on your own timing. It's like not going to follow the traditional like timetable that society has arbitrarily placed on all of us, right? So what's going to help you with that is also mastering your authority of understanding like what it means to have sounding board authority, getting yourself in those spaces that feel conducive to having your aha moments. It's almost like we want to kind of like get the bad vibes out of the way so that we're not mirroring back the energy that's going to actually hold us back and not like push us forward.
That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. Also, you know, in terms of the timing, my children are born 13 years apart.
Yeah. Which is also unexpected, quote unquote. Like it's, I mean, I think it's beautiful and wonderful and families come in all shapes and sizes, but I'm sure that's something people have had opinions about.
You know, that never really fazed me, because to me, I kind of, with both of my kids, I wanted to be all for the one. So by the time she got to an age where she was, you know, fairly self-sufficient, it was okay to have another one.
But that's a perfect example of that unexpected too, because you're doing it in the way that made sense for you, but not necessarily what other folks would tell you makes the most sense,
use
the word sense like 15 times. And that's also a big part of your journey. So one of the things I thought was also so cool, and this is actually where the South and the North Node are sitting right now, just in terms of transits, is you have gate 27 and gate 28 as your unconscious earth and unconscious sun. And your unconscious earth placement in gate 27, it's a Taurus governed gate. And Taurus is very steadfast, very like grounded. And one of the things you're wired to be is kind of this nurturer, this caretaker, this provider. Like you feel your most anchored, grounded, balanced when you're like, my community's needs are met. The people that I love and my family, my friend group, my working community, their needs are met. They are nourished. They're not just protected, but they're like thriving, right?
Right.
So gate 27 has this nurturer tendency, but it could also be an energy leak. So I'm going to come back to that one in a second for you. But okay, once that's in place and you know, everybody's not just surviving, but thriving. And that's almost seems like, you know, giving that your littlest is four, like by the time in a couple years, like he'll be in school more full time and like, you'll have a bit more, you know, he won't be at your side all day. If you choose to do the kind of public or private school route, that gives you a little bit more time too, to kind of follow purpose. And that's what your unconscious sun is sitting in. So gate 28 in our spleen governs our threshold for risk taking when it comes to living out our purpose. And it's almost like this family stuff, the community needed to be preserved and taken care of through that gate of nurturing and caring right first. Then it's like, okay, now I can figure out, where do I want to aim my purpose? How do I want to be of service to the world? And like, what is that going to look like? What threshold of risk is reasonable to take on to do so?
That's it for this episode. I'll be back with the second half of my conversation with Georgia for a very special episode this Thursday, so stay tuned. And if you're interested in shining a spotlight on your natal chart to understand the finer points of your soul's contract for this lifetime, head on over to interiorcreature.com and click on the Book a Reading link on the menu bar. That'll open a page that explains all the levels of readings that I offer so you can determine which one meets you where you are in your human design journey. And if you've been self-studying for a while and you're interested in taking all the epiphanies that you've had about your energetics and you want to start maybe deeply embodying the highest, most compassionate, expansive expression of your energy, you are invited to join me in the Karmic Studies Elevator. So click on the link in the menu bar for more information. Thank you so much to Georgia for sitting with me in communion, and to you for tuning in. I will talk to you soon.